You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
And now, let's move on to you, Jade.
New data from the UN has revealed that COVID-19 could be setting back women's increasing fight towards equality about 25 years, as women are dropping out of the workforce to do increasing domestic work and family care due to the pandemic. I decided to talk to Global Women's Organization CEO Agnes Nera on how COVID-19 has affected women's equality here in New Zealand, so here she is now.
My name's Agnes Nera, and I am the Chief Executive for Global Women. Global Women was set up 11 years ago. One of the founders was Dame Jenny, and it was really to advance, I suppose, what we were calling the glass ceiling, which is still kind of there, but we're making some strides.
So the UN just came out with some new data that suggests coronavirus could erase potentially 25 years of increasing gender equality as women leave their jobs to fill in the domestic care roles. How much do you think this is true and applies to women in New Zealand?
Look, I think that what that answer to that is the leadership and I suppose in some sense the size of our country. We have we would be in quite a unique position that at a government level we have quite a granular view of what's happening as opposed to other larger countries. So it won't be as disproportionate because we have that stronger or granular kind of data. We have a stronger sense of, in our leadership team, of where we might put that resource. But that doesn't mean that we don't need to be really careful in thinking about that. But I think that our leadership, both through Jacinda and people like Grant Robertson and our finance, are thinking about that what we showed in COVID is that collaboration across the sectors, and that's always been the barrier for many things, including equality for women. So we've been able to do that in this country very effectively, unlike other countries who treated or responded differently so you didn't have to collaborate. And we saw in this country policies being democratized, at a really fast rate.
Yeah, so do you think the New Zealand government is doing enough to aid women potentially get back into the workforce since coronavirus? Because studies showed earlier that around 11,000 jobs were lost and that 90% of those were actually women that dropped out. And do you think the government needs to do more, or they're doing just enough, as you're saying?
No, never enough. But just again, let's go back to that question. The reason that women lost that is because it's these sectors that were most impacted. And research, international research says that too. It's because they were in those sectors of hospitality and service. So they got impacted. So again, what we don't want to do is we don't want to bounce back, because why would you? They were in poorly paid jobs anyway. So what we need to do is bounce forward. What I think the government certainly needs to be doing more, but what we are thinking about is what is the repurpose of their skills somewhere else, because those sectors are not going to bounce back quickly. So I think, if you have a look at the different things in terms of tourism or other areas, how do we mobilise those that have been affected, and particularly in terms of loss of jobs? So no, there will never, it's a bit like the work that we're looking to do in terms of, closing the pay gap. It is never enough, but I think there's some things structurally and systematically that we are starting to do better. Now, even the idea that we would be incentivising women, given it is a growth area in terms of construction, all that, and not every woman wants to work in that, but we are incentivising that opportunity so women can mobilise, to start to mobilise into sectors that do have employment.
Yeah, that's fair enough that areas like HOSPO will not be bouncing back anytime soon.
No.
If this is the case, then, in the meantime, is there anything that women could be doing to maintain their physical and mental health and potentially disproportionately affected because of how many have had to drop out and take care of the family?
Sure, look, that is. And we know that the other thing that's happened is women are having to pick up more of that kind of childcare. And for Māori and Pacific, and sometimes for others, they're also taking on the financial burden extended outside of their families. So, you know, that's a really, because there was already inequalities for Māori and Pacifica women before COVID. And so these are just being doubled up for them. So, I mean, that in itself is, you know, as women, what we need to try and do is to make sure we understand what we can access, what's available. And that's not always been easy to find. So asking for help, and that's not a trait that women have. We tend to suffer in silence. And so we really need to kind of make ourselves vulnerable and go, look, I need some help. Now, whether that's with government services or your network, but again, one of our traits as women is we tend to go, let's suffer in silence. So I think for the first time, we do need to put up our hand when we need help. And sometimes that helps, not always there, but that's where we need to, and a trait of women is our tenacity. So this is where we really need to be tenacious. No is not good enough. If you can't get it from one person or one system, then continue. And I know that's not as easy as said, but it is something if you recognise it's what you have to do in the kind of behaviour we now need to adopt, particularly those that have been impacted, that's what you kind of need to do. The other group, of course, that are going to be impacted in a different way for the first time is young women. Because there's just not going to be those employment opportunities. So, you know, those that are studying in universities, the idea of having both being able to study and earn income so they can live. And again, that would be, you know, the idea is that idea of entrepreneurship, are there things you can do, you can find with your peers that you might be able to generate some kind of revenue. Yeah, and I think the other thing is, the way of, you know, the well-being piece you talked about, and that's really important. So staying connected. So, you know, if you have the time and the energy, volunteering somewhere. So we've got a woman in our office that is just volunteering, but it's really about her well-being. She just wants to have, you know, she just wants to be able to gift her value. And we're really grateful to receive her value, actually. And so that keeps her well-being, both mental and physical, on. And not everyone might have that opportunity. But, you know, mothers that are at home, can you volunteer on a school project or a kindy project? Again, just about your mental well-being and making sure that you feel that you have value, because everyone has value to give.
Yeah, women definitely struggle with asking for help, and when they're able to come together, it seems that as a community, it's very empowering when they're able to volunteer and help other potentially young mothers or families maintain their mental health and just know that they have support from each other. The UN is asking businesses and governments to consider the underpaid and often undervalued work, such as these tasks that help sustain families, that women often do. Do you agree that women's work is often undervalued?
I think not so much their work, but I think our attributes or characteristics are underestimated and undervalued. And we were just having a conversation, we're speaking at a conference next week. So that idea that you stop using the language about low skill and start using language that says what's the strength that they bring. And we know that women who have been working in the service industry or in the hospitality industry, one of their strengths is relational. And that is much needed, was always actually, but it's actually a strength. So I think that that's the other thing. It's not that they're undervalued. It's just the same for me. As a Māori, you know, one of my great strengths is relational, but that has not been something that people necessarily can value or do value. Of course, now that is one of, you know, that's worth gold. So I think, again, it's just about a reframe, and we're starting to do that. COVID either forced or encouraged or, you know, landed us there. So let's not talk about low skills. Let's talk about strengths, you know, and that's kind of profiling positively rather than profiling back the other way. And I mean profiling in a much respectful way.
Yeah, that's a great idea to talk about, yeah, what they can contribute instead of calling the low skills. So that's all the questions I have, but thank you so much. Do you have any final thoughts on what we can do as women to get back out there and show our worth?
Well, I think not so much what we can do, but, you know, what success would look like is that in recruitment processes and appointment processes and in job exit, what you would see is what is valued and what you can measure with things like kindness or happiness or joy. Because right now what we need in the workforce is people that can do that, those kind of things. And we've always had them, but it hasn't been something that we have valued as a or seen as a dollar value. So I think, you know, what we need to do is just to be inspired about what's possible and inspire others. And women need to kind of share, women need to ask. But look, I think there is a lot of opportunity in this country, again, because we have a leadership of men and women that have been leading differently than other leaders in other countries, for sure.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.